into the CHGO White Sox postgame show presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in to CHGO. All right? We are here in the West Loop of Chicago. We are coming to you live after a White Sox. And for the first time this year, and for the third straight game, which is also a first, for the first series win, we are coming to you live after a White Sox winner, 6-4. And it feels like it's a four-game winning streak because Liam Hendricks is also back as well. He has struck out cancer. So, Herbie Sunshine, it is a wonderful day. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. I'm your host. That is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ekrenwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader.
And I did like Steven's impression of me yesterday.
Thank you. I really tried on that one, too.
It was spot on.
Do you want to try it again? And we got Steven Nicholas producing us.
Hello.
That's spot on.
That's pretty good.
Can't get better.
And as Matthew Cortese says, he was wrong about the 5-0 no-hitter, but they are undefeated in May. You said it was a contract clause, and thank God it's the month of May.
They finally got the job done. Thank you, Minnesota White Sox. They helped us out. Minnesota White Sox. Oh. They loaded the bases with no one out with our guy Groot Santos out there. Two dribblers, one to Timmy, one to Groot, and then he strikes out the last guy. I mean, I thought that was trademarked. They owe the White Sox a couple dollars for stealing their move. But, yeah, it feels so good, even though it's only the 10th win of the year.
Only.
10 out of 31, the White Sox finally got there. Double digits. I think they're them and their companions with the $100 million club, which not spending $100 million club, are the ones that were in the single-digit win category. They finally have gotten out, leaving the Royals and the Oakland A's there.
Yes, the A's have 6 wins. The Royals have 8. Sox are 7 games back in the AL Central.
Here we go. Here we go.
Hey, it's early. The White Sox are going to go 20-9 in the month of May, folks. I told you.
Only 11 games under 500.
Herb, and I don't want to get too silly, all right? Because I felt pretty silly saying 20-9, but it seemed like a light schedule. And this team, they didn't seem this bad.
No.
And, hey, it hasn't been some easy wins. The first win was a 7-run comeback in the 9th inning. The next one was a 10th inning walk-off. This one was a 5-4 win that got extended to 6-4 because of Billy Hamilton's excellent base running.
I forgot about that, man.
I did like how our guy Nick Morawski said it saved the White Sox season. I was like, brother, that's not even the game-winning run. If he didn't even score that, I mean, they still would have won.
But didn't you feel much better when that run was scored?
Of course.
Like, I'm like, I don't know. We didn't know who was going to be closing the game out. We were thinking, is it going to be Ronaldo, maybe Jimmy Lambert, maybe other people? And when they brought in Keenan Middleton, Sean's like, yo, he saved games back when he was an Anaheim Angel back in the day. So I felt at ease, and he's pitched pretty well for the White Sox so far. So that run that Billy Hamilton scored in the 9th inning or their 8th inning really made me feel at ease no matter who was coming in. So they got a little bit more cushion to escape, because that last batter he struck out was Carlos Correa. He could have tied that game up with a home run right there.
Absolutely. And hey, you know, I mean, even if he hits a double, then that run becomes really, really, really important. But nonetheless, not a great start from Dylan Cease. I didn't love the offense against Louis Varland, but they won.
Exactly.
We really can't complain at this point.
I mean,
and Luis Robert hitting a homer.
Until this team gets to a point where they're actually competing for the AL Central versus the Minnesota Twins, we can start parsing actual how they won and if this win is good or not. Right now, we're just starving for wins. And to have the 3-game winning streak right now, a season high, and have the first series win, awesome. We've just taken the wins. That's it's very unprocessed over results for me. But hell, results are all the White Sox need right now. Yeah, Jack Kay, what the hell? I put all my money, my life savings, on your guy to hit a home run. Nothing.
Ryan Jeffers, for the people who missed the preview.
And my guy to hit a home run, Andrew Benintendi. But he did get the winning run, though.
Oh, yeah.
He did score the winning run.
And how to get on?
Bunting.
Oh, thank God.
For a hit. It wasn't sack bunting.
Oh, no. Thank God. Thank God the $75 million man went 1-for-4 with the one hit being a bunt. I'm so lucky. I feel so blessed to have Andrew Benintendi on this fucking baseball team.
Hey, he won 2 games for the White Sox in a row. The catch yesterday and the walk-off hit. And then today, he got the winning run. Andrew Benintendi, winning player. He's a winner. I hate that term, man. I'm just bullshitting you because
I'm glad you couldn't actually keep a straight face for that one.
He's a winner thing is weird because it's just a weird saying.
I feel like I'm being gaslit about Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, you know I'm going to be poking the bear every single time. Imagine when he hits a home run, Sean. Just one.
And everyone's going to be just and everyone's gonna be like, in your face. I'm like, it's been 32 games. I'm starving. I am dehydrated. Please give me something. I mean, the haters have no haterade to spread because the man stinks. I mean, hey, have you ever seen a bunt go over the fence? And hey, Michael Conforto's got a batting average of 195. He also has four homers. That's four more than Andrew Benintendi. I'm so glad that he has a sub 300 batting average, right?
Yeah, now.
I mean, what do you do here? What do you do great? What do you excel at? You're a fine player. That's what that's
runs
that's,
the bases.
He's fine at it. He's not the best on the White Sox.
No.
He's fine. He's fine. He's a fine player, and he's the highest paid player in our franchise history. We got a super chat from Husky Bardo here. Let's get into the positive news because Liam Hendricks struck out cancer. Husky Bardo saying 18 more to go this month, and that's 20-9. All right, and they're going to sweep the Minnesota Twins tomorrow. I'm telling you, we don't have a pregame. They're sweeping the Twins tomorrow. Lucas Giolito is going to shove it up there, and you taught me this term on the pregame. Shout out to Terry Bors by Cracky. He's going to shove it up there, Giggy.
Giggy.
All right, so that's something that's going to happen. You know, so tune in.
You really can't say stuff like shoving things into places on radio, so we had to think about a different word that you can, you know, not get FCC'd for.
I feel very uncouth, very, very harsh to say, you know, shoving it up there. Who or there? You know, it just seems a little
Southside Bums joining us.
Hey, tip of the hat. Which one is it? I mean,
No, I think HBIC is still in London or England or somewhere. He's overseas.
Well-traveled man.
Johnny and Baloney. My guy Dougie.
Baloney's usually here on his own account.
Yes. I
mean, Dougie's usually on his own account. So, I mean, by...
So it's got to be Johnny?
It's got to be Johnny. And that beautiful mustache. All right, let's go to the big news. The huge news. And I'm not salty, Sean. I'm not trying to... If anything, what we've determined is there's no Herbie Sunshine. It's Herbie Doom and Gloom. And this guy is talking about who's the next to be injured. He's cursed Jake Berger.
Yep.
And he's talking about how Twins are going to win today. I said, Sox are going to win. And you, pessimistically under your breath, I heard you, said, we'll see. And here we are. Three straight wins, 6-4, Herb. That's a win in the corner.
Yeah, here come the White Sox, man.
Here comes the White Sox.
We're only seven games out. I mean, it sounds ludicrous, but they did exactly what they've already done what I wanted them to do. Win two out of the three games. Now there's no reason not to stick it up their giggy and step on some throats
real
tomorrow and beat the fuck out of them.
Absolutely. Shove it up their giggy and beat the fuck out of them with those weird ass Minnesota Twins. No, you can't start scrolling. Go back up. And then we're going to – Ben Rosenblum saying, Benny ain't total trash, just a little washed. Just washed a little. They just signed him to a five-year deal. What are you talking about, total trash? I said he's fine. Is trash fine? No, he's fine. But are you really going to say he's just washed a little? He's under 30, and they just gave him $75 million, and he's washed a little.
That's our GM.
Lightly used.
There was a lot of people available.
Baby shoes never worn.
A lot of people available to get instead of him. But I think by the end of the year, Sean will change his tune and say, man, this Andrew Benintendi signing.
He's fine.
Delicious. I love it. I'm a big fan. Good job, Rick Hahn. Let me put it down here. May 3rd, 2023. Sean Anderson will finally come to the Andrew Benintendi fan club by the end of the year.
All right, are we taking money? How do I win money off this? I said he's fine. I'm not. I'm
observer. You'll be waving the pom poms by September.
Absolutely not. All right, let's go to Liam Hendricks, a great signing from Rick Hahn, a great person, a wonderful person, and he struck out cancer. And we have audio and video of Liam talking to the media, and then we'll take an ad break, and then hopefully be joined by Vinny Duber, who wrote an article at AllCHGO about Liam Hendricks and what his teammates had to say about his battle. But let's go to Liam, who will put it in his own words what he went through.
So as all of you know, I got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. I announced it on January 8th. It happened a little bit before that with my wife and I when we found out, but we kind of announced it once we got the clarification. So we found out early December, and then we progressed through the ranks to figure out what stage it was, the degree, what treatment plans we had in place. So technically, I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and started treatment on January 9th and 10th. And that was our first session. We went through immunotherapy and chemotherapy. Was able to get through with 4 rounds, and that was diagnosed through not only the Mayo Clinic out in Arizona, but also through the White Sox helping to facilitate getting CAT scans and biopsies and all this sort of stuff. So I just want to really reach out to thank the White Sox organization for everything that they were able to do. I don't think it would have been as quick of a process if I wasn't able to kind of lean on those guys. I want to thank all of you media people for kind of respecting my wife and I's privacy. It was obviously trying times for us, but we really appreciate the fact that it was a hello in the hallway or little things like that, and it was no kind of prying, no trying to do anything like that, which we really appreciate because, as you can imagine, it was not exactly the best times of our lives, but hey, it's another thing we step towards and move forward. And as of now, I've got a clean bill of health. I'm currently in remission, and I will be starting my rehab assignment in Gwinnett on Friday, and I leave tomorrow for that. So I've had a couple games in Arizona getting my legs under me, realizing that the bullpen is a lot further away than I remembered it last year. Yeah, so, and also, like, before there was all discovered because of some lumps in my neck. I found a lump on here, which now there's a scar right there, a lump on my back of my neck, the side and here, that were the main triggers. I told our training staff, they came around June. I didn't tell anybody till July. I got a blood test done and nothing came up, which is fun that blood cancer doesn't come up in the blood, which is great. But yeah, everything that the White Sox did for me was huge and has definitely contributed to being able to be back as soon as I have been and moving forward with this kind of this path forward.
What was Chrissy's reaction when you hear the word cancer and now come all the way through, and how do you feel? What's your mindset as you go back to doing what you love, you know, playing baseball again?
Going in, I had obviously the lumps and stuff like that, and so before I got a needle biopsy and stuff done like that, I had started Googling it myself because I'm a sponge for knowledge and wanted to know everything. And I pretty much convinced myself that it was a lymphoma to start off with before I actually got diagnosed. So it wasn't as big of a shock to me as it was to my wife. I still remember it was December 7th when I saw the team doctor and he's like, look, it's showing like it could be lymphoma. We're moving forward. Like, the next step is to do a CAT scan to see. And then a CAT scan from there turned into a biopsy. But yeah, it was definitely a shock to the system. I was actually at the field, swung by the doctor's office, which is in Glendale as well. And then I had the nice 40-minute drive home to really contemplate things. But it was never a thing to me where I ever worried. Like, I never self-involved and looked into it as a why me thing. I looked at it as a why not me. I mean, as some of you may understand, I tend to have a little rosier perspective on life than Gen Pop. So that was my process behind it. Like, look, I've got this. This is my next challenge. And we started looking into ways that we can make good of this. Whether it be awareness, whether it be like any sort of donations, whether it be helping out people in similar situations. We looked at it as an opportunity to help the outside community move forward. But that was something I knew that going into it, I could never self-reflect. I could never be introverted and hold it all in and just the woe is me, that attitude. I've seen family members go through it. I've seen, like, you hear the stories of people going through it. You see it, how much it ravages not only the person but also the spouse. So not only was I worrying about myself and making sure that I had the right mentality, but I wanted to make sure that everybody around me knew that I was attacking this thing head on and to not worry about me and my mental state, because I'm attacking this no matter what.
Was there ever a moment that you wondered if this day would come, that you'd get back to playing baseball?
No, not at all. As soon as I found out how, the regular treatment timelines, I'm like, okay, how can I beat it? So I started January 9th and 10th. There was two options. There was the option of 6 months. So I was on back-to-back days treatment every 28 days. So there was 6 treatments possibly, or 4 treatments. And I was like, look, we're going to do whatever we can. After the third treatment, I'm going to wait. I'm going to get the next PET scan then, and that'll decide whether I have four or six. And I was shooting for four. I was shooting for everything that's kind of, it's best case scenario, no matter what we're going through right now. But I did want to harp on the one thing that has helped me get back this quickly was the amount of people that didn't have my phone number reaching out as either survivors or players or anything like that. I think the biggest message that I got, and I want to read it out because I don't want to get it wrong, was from Jameson Tyone. And his was, it's your journey. Nobody can tell you what to feel or what to do baseball-wise. Do whatever you feel is right. And that was on January 30th. And I think I had treatment. I think I actually threw a bullpen the next day right around there. So I was like, screw it. I want to push this. And before that, I was just planning on playing catch, making sure I was staying somewhat fit and then moving forward. But that was one of the messages that really hit me in the eyes. And I think it was right around that the next day or a couple of days later, I was on the mound throwing a bullpen. And that's the only reason that we're even talking about rehab assignments this quickly, because I've been throwing bullpens. I've gotten into two games in Arizona. And without that kind of message, and that was relayed from Chad Bettis to Jameson and Jameson to me, and now being relayed on to another couple of people as well. But there's messages like that that kind of really, really forced me to dig deep and be like, look, I've done this my entire career. This is what we're going to do. We're going to try and push the limits and see what we can do. And you know what? If, at the end of the day, if I can push and I can feel all right, that's what we're going to do.
I think we were talking again last season where you were kind of upset that you felt physically not up to, you know, pitching, I think, multiple innings at the end of last season. Now looking back, how much did that affect you that last year, or was it already kind of thin that, now how do you feel now compared to?
Yeah, so obviously with the lumps in my neck coming around June, when I got the PET scan done, one, I looked like a Dalmatian, which is not great even though we have one. But it turned out the ones on my hips were actually bigger. So there's no way to put a real timeline on it, but if I had the ones in my neck in June and the ones in my hip were bigger, there was always the chance that I pitched damn near all year last year with lymphoma in my system. And so I'd like to think that was the reason that I struggled to recover, and at the end of the year I was damn near limping to the finish line. But that's one thing that obviously can come through, and who knows how much that actually affected me. We'll find out when I get into, as long as Pedro's in here, four or five games in a row and move forward with that. But I don't think it helped. I think it definitely took its toll on my immune system and moving forward in that. But it's only time will tell. But as you know, I like to be able to available to throw multiple innings and go back to back and all this sort of things. And that was severely limited last year. And hopefully that was a contributing factor to it. And we can move forward and we can get back to what I like to do. And that's pitch every day.
You mentioned all the messages you received during your weekend. What were your interactions like and messages with your teammates? You know, the guys who are standing in the back of the room right now, the guys who you just said you miss being around on a daily basis.
Yeah, obviously it. When I announced it, it was about a month before everyone showed up for spring training, and then so I got messages from pretty much most of the team. Just they were thinking of you and were wishing you all the best and all this sort of stuff. And then we worked out with the training staff that I'd come through a little bit later than everybody, just so I can not be around everybody with like the lowered immune system and all that sort of stuff. So they were great with being able to come through, and then I'd still be there. So we were still bickering with Lance and talking with Tim and all this sort of stuff. There was still that camaraderie going through there. And for me, it was just life as normal when I was there, which was fantastic, which was the best thing that you could ever hope for, was not having people tiptoe around you in case they said the wrong thing or anything like that. But I think coming in, one of the first things was yelling at somebody that I had cancer. You should let me do this. that was, I think that broke the ice pretty easily, and then everyone kind of got a little bit more relaxed. But spring training was great because I was able to see some of the guys. I was able to be in there. I was able to be on the fields. I was able to play catch. I was able to make fun of pretty much anyone I wanted to. And if they said anything back, it was always a little interesting. But it's definitely been hard. I know that my last round of treatment started on the home opener on April 3rd. And knowing that was my last treatment was a huge bonus. I don't think I would have been in the same, like, I think it would have been a lot harder with me not having an end date. I think that would have been a lot more difficult, but luckily that was my last treatment, and then all I had to do after that was get a bone marrow biopsy to make sure that everything was out of my marrow, and we were good to go.
Liam, you were in spring training, we heard you were throwing bullpens already, which was seemed remarkable. Are you pushing the envelope there? Is that normal? And how were you able to do that, to do the things that you've been doing physically at the pace you're working at?
So I got very lucky in the fact that my doctor was a former collegiate gymnast who then went through leukemia herself. So she was very understanding of the athletic way of doing things. Unfortunately, as anybody who's had anything to do with cancer or anything like this, it is a very, very scientific. Everything is done based upon research. Everything is based upon this. So there was no guidelines on bullpens. There was no guidelines on athletic endeavors. There was no guidelines on that because they've never really been able to do a case study on enough people to get some relevant data. But for me, it was, and her was, as long as you throw, as long as you feel okay doing it, as long as you recover fine doing it, she goes, I have no problem with it. But if you feel anything, you have to be cognizant of why your body feels. So luckily, I didn't feel anything other than the usual pain that I'm used to. So it was definitely I was pushing it to see how far I could go, but in saying that, I was responding well, and if I wasn't responding well, I wouldn't have been able to do as much as I did.
And he did a lot. He is now struck out cancer, and he did it in one successful round, and now he's in remission, and we are so extremely proud of him. He's been an easy player to root for, and not only because of the quality of player that he is, but the quality of person that he is. So very, very excited to have Liam Hendricks back. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to let you know about some of our fantastic sponsors, and then hopefully I'm going to time this perfectly. Vinny Duber will join us from Guaranteed Rate Field, and he just wrote an article and talked to some of Liam's teammates about Liam's battle. And we'll get some more color about what the White Sox clubhouse is feeling about Liam Hendricks' miraculous comeback. And again, someone did ask, I think it was White Sox Tom, if you didn't hear in there, 4 to 5
rehab starts.
Rehab assignments in Charlotte. But also he said, I don't think Pedro's in here, so I'm going to say 4 to 5. So when we said, oh, I don't know, maybe it'll be 3, he's feeling really good and he'll be back. I think the White Sox would like to see him do 4 to 5. But if Liam Hendricks is saying, I'm pretty right after the first 2.
I believe him. The man beat cancer in less than 4 months.
And what did he do in Arizona on the first time out? 4 Ks?
Yeah. Yeah. If he knows his body more than anybody else. With the UCL tear and beating cancer in 4 months. If the man says he's good, he's good. I'm going to believe him.
Shout out to Southside Sox 1998 as well, saying, like it up, y'all. We appreciate it. Oh, right. As I say that, we get one as well. We're up to 29. We'd appreciate at least a Mags or Ordonez.
That's Black Jack McDowell right there. Oh, but there, yeah, Mags, yeah, one more.
Hey, they're drinking in the dugout. It's a black cat. I used to go down to Brazil and drink my own urine.
Oh, that's, we got the Scottie,
and then we cut him off.
We got the Aaron Rowan / Scottie Pippen. That reference right there you just had, only like 12 people got that, but it was the 12 people who got it who are watching the cross of us White Sox people and the 670 The Score people who know who Black Cat are. It's not that much.
Right now, there are 2 people that get that reference, and it's you and me. Mm-hmm. Steven's in the dark here.
No.
There is no one else that knows who the Black Kid is, man. I hope so. Maybe Ray Diaz is hanging out in the chat. I love Ray Diaz. Let's go to the break. If you're ever stressed out, I mean, my man Steven was stressed out yesterday. And it wasn't because he was buying tickets, but if he was stressed out buying tickets, I'd say, Steven, my man, here's a ticket hack. You asked me about a rental car hack.
I did. I asked Steven about one, too. It's awesome.
I had no help.
And it worked.
But we got a ticket hack for you. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful, and that's why Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for all these sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. In just about 24 days, I'll be going to a concert at the Chicago Theater. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see the National. And, hey, if you don't have tickets yet, they have killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You could stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you'll have. Our favorite part about Game Time, too, is the Game Time Guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. And their lovely, lovely customer service is lovely, 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 and speedy.
Yes, 12 minutes to get my 110% guarantee back to me in my account that quickly. I sent them an email, literally 12 minutes later, they sent me an email back. Your stuff's already in the Game Time credits. I was like, man, Game Time, you're all about that.
Bless up. Snag the tickets without the stress of Game Time. Download the app today and create an account. Use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Again, terms apply. Create an account and redeem code CHGO for 20% off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
You're going to see Dave Martinez and the Nationals?
No. There's a band, The National.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was man, Joey Meneses? Mm-hmm. That's a tough group to watch.
Patrick Corbin? Yeah. Cody's screaming about him right now. I mean, they just lost a series to him. I hope he doesn't hear
me. Oh, my goodness. You guys, if you guys are Cub haters, you should have a seat here at the CHGO offices because, oh, my God, Cody Delmendo just had a breakdown after the Cubs grounded to a double play to end the game. Versus the National.
I wish someone was recording his actual reaction.
There was a lot of expletives there.
Oh, my God. Alex Lord, too, saying Game Time is awesome. Alex knows what's up. Also, take on the sun. Something that's up is the sun. It's up in the sky. So take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shade Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shade Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventure. And that's not all. Shade Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear your Shade Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase, and they'll have your back after 30 days. If you don't love your Shade Rays, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you, the viewer, shop. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal this season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code CHGO for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized shades. Try yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. No Vinny.
Not yet.
And Vinny's usually very, very prompt. Vinny's always on time. They're probably having a ton of fun in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably talking about us.
Probably.
You know,
I mean, gabbing. Liam's back in the clubhouse for the first time in a minute. Probably was there yesterday. You got Keenan Middleton's first White Sox save of his White Sox career. You have Andrew Benintendi scoring the winning run. I'm sure they're having him on his shoulders. Like, man, you're a $75 million guy. We really appreciate it, brother. That's exactly what we needed, a bunt, and then you getting hit around so you can score that run. That's why we paid you that money, brother. Good job, Andrew.
Brother.
Good job, brother.
Hulk Hogan is putting Andrew Benintendi on his shoulders in the White Sox locker room. Steven said he was small, a little fella. I mean, Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant in front of 80,000 people in the Silverdome.
Yes, he did.
The Pontiac Silverdome, my friend, at WrestleMania 3.
I can't believe you remember that, even though you weren't alive to witness that.
My friend, 20 years later, there was little Sean Anderson in the Ford Field Dome, okay, where Aretha Franklin sung the national anthem, and then The Undertaker defeated Batista and continued his undefeated WrestleMania streak, and also John Cena defeated the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. A lot of fun at WrestleMania 23.
That's garbage. HBK doesn't lose to John Cena.
That's not true. He did at WrestleMania 23.
Did he get him with the sweet chin music?
I think he did. He had some sweet red and white pants, but we don't need to bore you on this.
No, I've read less wrestling.
You want to spin the wheel of White Sox topics after this win?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to play closer, cease worries, Jake Berger injury?
Cease worries.
All right, let's go into the stats. Maybe we'll do this before Vinny, because I don't want to bore him with all my pitching nerd stats.
Your scramble numbers.
Yeah, seriously. Dylan Cease today, 5 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 6 Ks, 4 walks. Louis Varland. Did you know he's from Minnesota? The broadcast didn't tell me enough. 4 2/3 for Louis Varland, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 6 Ks, and 2 walks.
Is he more from Minnesota, or is Charlie Tilson more from New Trier?
Ooh. Well, local products are local products, yeah, and those are the peak of broadcasting.
Nicky Lopez, of course.
Mike Massey.
Yes.
I can't wait for my
it's next weekend, friends. Or next week. I'll be live to see both of those kids in Kansas City.
Let's eat. Let's look at the stuff from Dylan Cease, because people are I'm a little, you know, tugging at that collar. Like, what's going wrong with Cy Cease? Mm-hmm. Dylan threw 51 fastballs, 30 sliders, 15 knuckle curves, and 2 changeups. I think the biggest thing is, I mean, last year he was throwing that slider more. Mm-hmm. He was throwing that slider like 43% of the time.
Which is number one pitch.
And then four-seam fastball about 38% of the time. I don't think he has the feel for it yet. And you can just see, too, like the year average last year was around 86. But also, that was because he really didn't start throwing it hard until he went on that run in May. So I do think that there is more from Dylan Cease. I do think that slider is that game changer. And today it wasn't that pitch. It was not a pitch that he trusted. I did think the knuckle curve was going to be an important pitch this offseason, but he really didn't feel like he trusted that enough and relied decently on the fastball. I think the third inning and fourth inning were pretty rough for him.
They were, and I just don't, you know, getting the feel for that slider. I don't know if it's the weather, you know, it's a little dry out there, or it's just like his slider is the most dominant pitch of last year. It's just a feel thing where you got to get it every once in a while. And once you get it, you don't lose it for a minute. And so, yeah, he's been struggling mightily with the slider. And I would want him to throw more knuckle curves because those players are sitting 97. And that's why the home run, what was it, by Nick Gordon? Mm. You know, that one went deep because he's sitting 97, and if you throw him a hanging slider, he's going to crush it because he was already, you already sped his bat up, and then you throw a pitch right into his zone. So, yeah, it's not as crisp as it was last year. Am I worried? Yeah. That was our best pitcher last year, and he was a second place in Cy Young. This year, he's looking like pretty much an also-ran. He only went 5 innings today, another... as your ace, 5 innings is unacceptable. And then getting 4 earned runs, not unacceptable. That's going to happen from time to time. But this is coming off the heels of giving up 6 or 7 the last time when he went versus the Tampa Bay Rays. So I'm very concerned. Now, the next time he starts a game will be versus the Kansas City Royals. A little bit more easy. You downshift a little bit more from the tough-hitting Tampa Bay Rays to the Minnesota Twins, and then you go to like first gear with the goddamn Kansas City Royals. So I hope he can get back on track. We thought today was the day because we read the stats before. He's dominated the Minnesota Twins for the most part in his career.
Yeah, and he did not dominate them today. And even to be fair to Dylan, in the first 5 games of last year, a 4-1 record? No, 3-1 on decisions, 29 innings, 39 strikeouts, an ERA of 248, and opponents were batting 469. That was just their OPS.
so when they were hitting them, they were hitting them.
Yeah. No, 469 was the OPS.
Oh, the OPS. I thought you meant the average. I was like, goddamn, they were hitting the hell out of
them. They were not hitting them. Let's just go to the stuff real quick, and then we'll get to Vinny. Just to knock that out, the other second graphic. The results, my bad. Called strike whiff percentage of 27%. We said that over the past 3 starts against the Twins, it was near 32.8%. Really didn't have the feel. The slider was a decent pitch, though. I mean, still 11 whiffs on 18 swings. And, I mean, no called strikes, but still 11 whiffs on 30 pitches is still going to give you a called strike whiff percentage of 37. So it was an effective pitch. The fastball just wasn't. And that was his most used pitch. And that's really why you see the walks. It's why you see the earned runs. It just wasn't. The best stuff from Dylan Cease. I'm not worried though, because I feel like he can get settled. I don't know. When he's throwing the slider and the sliders, you know, when he's throwing the slider 40 times and he's having a bad start, we'll talk. Let's go out to Guaranteed Rate Field. Our big J journalist, Vinny Duber. Big hair to go with it as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer.
Very sexy mustache.
Oh, and very sexy mustache. I forgot about that drop. Look at that. And you can read Vinny's latest at allchgo.com talking about the great Liam Hendricks. Let's go right there because I thought it was a great article. You got some insight from that clubhouse on what they made of Liam Hendricks' battle. People can go read that at allchgo.com. But for you, I mean, I know you don't try to root for a lot of things for the White Sox. You're trying to stay objective. But when a player like this returns, it's probably hard to keep a smile off your face.
I mean, it was kind of the return of the conquering hero, right? I mean, I think, there's no doubt that every single one of us has had their lives directly or indirectly impacted by cancer. And as terrible it is when you first hear that word, it is such a relief, such a weight off the shoulders, and it feels like true victory when someone is able to overcome it. I'm fortunate enough to have had that in my family, and it was great to see a guy who I've worked closely with in Liam Hendricks here be able to do the same thing. Obviously, we went over back in January and February how easy it was to and remains to root for him, how he's kind of done everything the right way in his life with his success as a pro athlete. And certainly that's not going to stop. If anything, it's going to get much bigger, his charitable endeavors and stuff like that. But I don't think there was anybody in the building today who was nonplussed by Hendricks coming back. I think every single person was thrilled to be able to see him in the building today, yesterday and today. That he is going to be coming back to a major league mound very soon is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I don't think any of us thought it was possible, but I think the big takeaway, and it's what I wrote about today, was that everybody kind of thought that if there was going to be somebody who could pull this off, it was going to be him. You know, his teammates kind of saying never a doubt that he was going to be able to beat this and come back. So, and he even was asked, you know, did you ever think that there was going to be a day where, or that it was possible that you weren't going to get back here, that this day wasn't going to come? And he said, no, not at all. You know, I mean, that's just, it's him. You've watched him pitch the ninth inning. He attacked this disease the same way. Awesome to see him back. Awesome to hear that he is doing well.
And it was stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He got his first treatment in January, mm-hmm. and he's done before the month of April starts. It blows my mind. And
his last treatment was the day of the home opener, just April 3rd. It was a month ago today.
That's crazy.
It's just, I mean, I know people are not surprised because Liam is Liam, but are any of his teammates just like in awe of the person that just went through cancer like it was nothing?
I mean, I think if they could have those feelings simultaneously, they do. You know what I mean? They are inspired. They are amazed. And then they remember, oh, this is who it is. And maybe I shouldn't be. But, you know, there was a great quote from Aaron Bummer, who I talked to the other day, who said, you know, you watch him throwing bullpens mm-hmm. at spring training and you're like, what? Aren't you not supposed to be doing right. this? And then he goes out there and he does what he does. So, I mean, it turned out, listen, when you get the some of the worst news that you could hear, whether you're Liam directly or Liam's wife or just his teammates who go to work with him every day, to have this be the ending, I think was as good as you could have hoped for. And certainly his teammates saw this and they see this outcome and they go, man, yeah, it was cancer picked a fight with the wrong dude.
100%. And again, struck out cancer is very poignant. And I mean, what else could you say, or what else could you have on your shirt after you literally beat it? The quote from Bummer, I think, is a great just kind of way to color this, because the thing that he brought up, we paid about an 11-minute chunk of the press conference, him having a doctor, I don't know, what oncologist? What's a cancer doctor?
I think they're
on. That's correct.
Oh, okay. I know some things, not a lot. I know some things. His oncologist was a former college gymnast, and he said, like, pro athletes don't have cancer a lot. Like, that he was a very specific case study. Like, you really can't say don't go and throw baseballs, because we don't know that it's harmful. And clearly, like, it probably helped the mental aspect of his fight. It's just so unique. And yeah, he really picked the wrong battle with the wrong person. And I'm not surprised. And we've been kind of mulling this over. He kind of said, like, is Pedro in the room? I'm going to pitch 4 or 5 rehab assignments. Do you think?
No. He said, is Pedro in the, is Pedro in the room? I'd like to throw 4 or 5 games in a row.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Liam,
do you think the 4 or 5 number's a hard number?
That's what Pedro said. That's what Pedro said for the rehab assignments. You mean?
Yeah.
That's what Pedro said. Yeah.
That's what Pedro said.
So Liam said today that that he basically he's like he's in February, in terms of like how he's ready for the season kind of thing. So basically that normally would be a month, right? But I guess the idea is think of what that would mean in terms of Cactus League play, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to know how often a reliever throws in Cactus League play before he's ready, but certainly a starter would have about four or five starts over the course of a month. When you're a reliever, four or five outings can come in a lot more condensed time. So I don't know if I'm off base with that or if that's a fair comparison, but it seems that he's going to be back here before the end of this month. And that's, it's insane. It's crazy to think. And I am really excited personally just to see what that reaction is going to be like when he gets on the mound for the first time. I hope it's a Friday or a Saturday game and there's people here. There's a lot of people here because that'll be a cool atmosphere. I bet you everybody be on the top railing of that dugout. And I wouldn't be surprised if the folks in attendance here were standing the whole time that he's throwing.
And the person
he deserves it.
Yeah, definitely 100%. The person that was keeping Liam Hendricks' seat warm tonight was Keenan Middleton with that ninth inning where he strikes out Carlos Correa to end the game. I mean, what did Pedro have to say about why he went to Keenan Middleton and just the performance that he had tonight?
Must feel good for Keenan, too.
Yes, it does. Look at Sean setting me up. So I'll start with Pedro. Pedro pointed to the fact that Middleton's done this before. I believe he had 13 career saves coming into in the majors coming into tonight. He's been really good for the White Sox in a group of relief pitchers where, Sean, we spent the postgame show yesterday talking about how high everybody's ERA is. He's one of the two guys, him and Gregory Santos, who don't have sky-high ERAs right now, and they were the two relief stars of tonight. Boy, Kendall Graveman looked really good, too. But Middleton was excellent tonight, and the confidence that Pedro Grifol had in him had obviously a lot to do with the part in the batting order they were at. We asked Keenan if he knew he was pitching the ninth tonight. He said, no, I had no idea. But he said he knew he was going to face Carlos Correa, and he was pumped about that because he does not like Carlos Correa one bit. He said he called him a cheater. Those two guys were in the same division. Middleton pitched for the Angels. Obviously Correa played for the Astros, and Middleton remembers the 2017 Astros because he used that C word tonight, cheater, not a dirtier one, to describe Carlos Correa.
He wasn't slurring.
No, to describe Carlos Correa. So there you go. Some more fire on the rivalry there. But I think the bigger story, well, this will be a big story now, but the bigger story in terms of the White Sox moving forward, they might have found something here in Middleton and Santos both. Long conversation from Pedro after the game tonight about Gregory Santos, say he's becoming a guy. You know, and I think you look at it, obviously he's got the fastball velocity that jumps out at you, but he complimented the coaching staff, Ethan Katz and Kurt Hassler, for really kind of turning Gregory Santos into what he was in San Francisco, from what he was in San Francisco into what he's been for the first month or so here with the White Sox. To be able to pull an El Duque tonight was pretty impressive.
Sawing off bats too. I mean, I think he broke like three or four bats of the Twins. The Keenan Middleton thing is very interesting. Obviously, you know, he's a cheater thing. He's obviously going to be influenced, whatever. But you heard a lot around that time of the narrative, the guys coming up and making their debuts. You know, Middleton's first year was 2017. And like that must have been, after that year, like, oh, I was going up against that team that was cheating, that, you know, possibly knew what was coming. It is funny, though, then to look, he had 8 innings pitched against the Astros in 2017. 5 hits allowed, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk. So he owned a team that was quote-unquote cheating. So just interesting, just because he was a guy that was kind of cutting his teeth at that moment during the time that cheating scandal was going on. Interesting comments there just because of the context of that relationship. Carlos Correa is probably going to be pumped up to face the White Sox tomorrow, though, huh?
I was going to say, you might want to look into a multi-hit day for Correa, but we'll see.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into some Jake Berger stuff. I want to get more into the Keenan Middleton thing, too, just because Gregory Santos, Keenan Middleton, Aaron Bummer looked all right as well. Groot Santos had to clean it up a little bit, but I think there is a little bit more reliever talk, even though we talked about it a little bit yesterday as well.
Billy Hamilton,
Jake Berger. There's a lot to talk about still left. The White Sox have won 3 straight games. Herb, have you heard about ComEd?
I have heard about ComEd, but let me get the readout first. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities that they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills. Now, and into the future, Sean.
Herb, they offer a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, and or industrial processes.
How does that work, Sean?
Well, an authorized engineer, they are authorized, will work with you to develop a plan, a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs, and these can be done in person or virtually last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business, do not wait. The Chicago Transit Authority, as Vinny likes to say, get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Did you say comed.com/poweringbiz?
Yes. Why are you saying it like that?
Because it's in all caps.
Oh, okay. And that's biz, B-I-Z. If you are going to bet on Carlos Correa to have a nice game tomorrow, it is baseball season. It is in full swing, and whether you're rooting for the home team or your favorite player, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered for all the season's action. Right now, new customers can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Plus, everyone can hit one out of the park with a DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlay. Boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. There's no Carlos Correa lines, but hey, maybe Carlos Correa to hit a homer, Carlos Correa total bases, Carlos Correa hits runs and RBIs. They got a lot of markets over at DraftKings Sportsbook. So join the big league action now on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on any pregame money line and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5555 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Vinny, Jake Berger, what's the update? Should we be concerned?
Maybe. We'll see. Not a lot of certainty tonight, but he swung at a changeup, a pitch that didn't move the way he expected it to, and he tweaked something. They said less left side discomfort when asked to clarify whether it was an oblique or not. Pedro Grifol said it is in that area. So they're going to evaluate him tomorrow, and they're going to figure out what. That's really kind of the only update I have. Jake Berger, though, was not feeling too good post-game. We did talk to him. Obviously he's a happy guy in general, but pointed out that he was maybe not super happy with how he had to leave the game tonight. Just kind of disappointed there. Obviously a guy who's had a lot of injury history in his time as a pro ball player.
All right, so let's open up a little discussion here on the closer role. Are we surprised that Keenan Middleton got the nod in the ninth inning? Obviously, 13 career saves before this. We did finally see Kendall Graveman. He appeared in the eighth. Gregory Santos is now a dude, a guy. I think he was a guy. And we have reinforcements coming. Liam Hendricks. We know Garrett Crochet has started his rehab assignment. And I heard Pedro also talked about lengthening out Crochet as well. So they might be getting a lengthened out Crochet. What do we make of the bullpen now that we know when reinforcements are coming and Keenan Middleton looks like a guy? Gregory Santos looks like a guy.
Well, the other day when we were talking about the bullpen hitting or the starting pitchers, I said I'm more worried about the starters because the bullpen has the reinforcements coming back. Was I surprised that they went to Keenan Middleton today? Kind of, but also you gave me the information that he's already been a closer back in the day with the Angels, so he has the experience, he has the muscle memory to do that job. So, yeah, I'm happy he'll be holding the seat warm, hopefully, in the interim when Liam's rehabbing. But I think, yeah, now that you have Keenan Middleton doing work, Groot Santos doing work, I mean, I know Jimmy Lambert's ERA is up there, but I think for the most part he's done a fine job. And Aaron Bummer with a good outing. Same thing as Vinny said today, we had Kendall Graveman was a good outing. Now they're probably just rounding the shape now that they're a little bit better positioned in their roles. Having Jake Diekman off of this team, even though he leaves you with only one really effective left-hander in Aaron Bummer, is a problem, but he wasn't getting the job done. But I think the bullpen is coming into shape. Once you get those guys, so Crochet and Hendricks back, I think everybody gets into their exact spot they're supposed to be in the bullpen will be a strength instead of the weakness it's been in the first month.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the closer role, obviously Liam Hendricks is going to have that upon his return. I think there was a wrinkle today, obviously, in that Reynaldo Lopez was not available. You know, I mean, this is a guy who was lifted from Sunday's game because of an injury. And yesterday, Pedro told us he's going to sit down a little bit for a day or two before he even starts throwing again. So, you know, we don't know exactly when he's even going to be back available to close. Had he been available in the bullpen tonight, he might have pitched the ninth inning. That maybe shouldn't be something that would have come as a surprise, even though his results have not been very good. Middleton's been good. Santos has been great. These are two guys who are doing that thing we talked about where they're working their way into more high leverage moments. Certainly Santos was not that guy, even though he made the opening day roster, he was not that guy on opening day. And I think you've had a few people point out that, yeah, his ERA is great, but what situations has he done it in? Tonight obviously was a big one, and he worked his way out of a really, really tough jam. So we'll see. I think this is the mixing and matching that Pedro said he was going to do in spring training. It's just the guys he's throwing out there need to be reliable. Through the first month of the season, they were overwhelmingly not. Now, if you get some good performances here in a row, those numbers are going to start to go down. Those guys are going to look a lot more reliable. Kendall Graveman has more outings like he did tonight. He's going to look like Kendall Graveman, right? The guy that we keep hearing about from Pedro Grifol, which is kind of ironic because he's the guy that calls on these guys in the bullpen, is that Jimmy Lambert has pitched so much. He's pitched so many games. They need some guys to be able, whether it's the starting pitchers going deeper into games and preventing the need for that many relievers, or those two guys, Liam and Garrett, coming back and providing some reinforcements. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to end up with plenty of guys at their disposal. It's just whether or not those guys who do have the track records, the Gravemans, the Kellys, you know, even Lopez to an extent, are they going to be able to go out there and pitch like it? Because, again, we saw through a month that they didn't. But now there's 5 more months to play. They've got plenty of time to kind of straighten out and fly right, and they're going to continue to be called upon. You're not going to not get a healthy dose of Kendall Graveman, Reynaldo Lopez, Joe Kelly at all out of the bullpen. So we'll see what happens once Liam and Garrett come back and how everything kind of shakes out.
Yeah, I do think this is a bullpen that's going to settle. I know that the numbers look extremely ugly, but again, we were all shocked that this team was 8-21. Now they're 10-21, still 11 games back of 500. But I didn't think that they were this bad, and I do think we're seeing a little bit of the correction kind of play out.
Yes, and I agree with that. And one guy who made that Keenan Middleton relief appearance actually a little bit more relaxing is Billy Hamilton. Get on base, I think it was Andrew Vaughn who got on base, pinch run for him, then they sack him over, and then Billy Hamilton scores on a ground ball to shortstop. I mean, when that 11 move Monday happened or Tuesday happened, I was like rolling my eyes. I was like, okay, Billy Hamilton, he's doing nothing. But the actual Billy Hamilton effect happened tonight where he's stealing runs where for a team that doesn't score a lot of runs. It's a huge thing that he did in the eighth inning.
Absolutely. And hey, I'm not trying to toot a horn or anything like this, but I will say that when we talked about roster projections for opening day back during spring training, I kept going back to, it seems like Billy Hamilton makes total sense to make this team because of what you saw the last two nights with what he was able to do as a pinch runner. And even after the game, Pedro talked about the benefit. Remember, Sean, last night we were like, oh, it's kind of weird that both Hamilton and Haseley are still on this roster together. Pedro talked about that exact thing, about how he can hang on to Haseley as a defensive replacement for whoever he might need to replace in the outfield, in right field, and use Hamilton almost solely as a pinch runner because they've got several guys up and down this lineup who give Pedro the opportunity to put Billy Hamilton the weapon in there late in the game. this is exactly why you have Billy Hamilton on a team, for a play and an inning just like that. Pedro said today with the pitcher that was pitching in that inning, Moran, I think his name was for Minnesota, his move to first was so good that once they put Billy in the game, he felt he needed to bunt him over because there was going to be a better chance of Billy stealing third than there was at second because of the move that Moran had. Everybody hates the bunt, but hey, that's a situation in which you're setting yourself up to score a run because Billy Hamilton is so elite. It's almost like you need to throw your opinion on the bunt out the window because Billy Hamilton can score from second base on a ground out. It's very obvious what he brings to this team. And then obviously there's stuff that he does in the clubhouse that is very good as well. But just from using those legs, he can win them a lot of games. And tonight it was an insurance run. On another night, it might be the winning run.
Yes, and that was the one thing. They did still win by two, and Paul Kurek covered on DraftKings Sportsbook. So tip of the hat there. But yeah, I mean, it was a very exciting moment, but in the end, it was inconsequential because Keenan Middleton shut things down.
Ask Keenan Middleton if it's inconsequential when he's having a two-run lead instead of a one-run lead. I'm sure he's like, oof, especially when Carlos Correa's coming up as the lead, as a tying run in that part instead of the leading run.
Yeah, my guy GD on Twitter posted this, and this is from Keenan Middleton's Instagram when he made the Mariners roster. He said, "Most respect to all before me, but Seattle never had a dog like me in the pen." And people were talking about Keenan Middleton's swagger. People were talking about the big chain that he had going. I mean, he has the late inning vibe. I mean, he has that mentality, and it seems like that mentality's always been there. Relievers are weird. Relievers are very up and down. I mean, the White Sox might have been able to dust off a nice, healthy, clean, ready-to-go Keenan Middleton, and that might be really exciting. Let's go to tomorrow. We are not at a vacuuming. Clark brought this up. They've won four straight games, but it's not four straight games against the same opponent.
We win tomorrow,
right,
four straight.
Right, right. So this will just be a sweep of the Minnesota Twins. If they
You're
win tomorrow.
You're calling it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Lucas Giolito's winning tomorrow. I talked about Lucas Giolito's fastball, how it's just as similar as Joe Ryan yesterday. I let Vinny go before I bored him with it. All the points still stand. But in the last two starts for Pablo Lopez, 11 earned runs, 10 innings pitched, a 990 ERA, 51% left on base, so he's really not leaving anyone on base, and a BABIP of 484, allowing hard contact, 12.5 barrel percentage, and 43.8% hard hit, and his velocity has dipped from the first three starts a mile to a mile and a half across the board. So they're getting a worse Pablo Lopez. It has been in colder weather, so it's going to be about 65 tomorrow, so maybe Pablo Lopez is feeling a little bit warmed up and looser, but I don't know. I think this is a team that really just has a nice vibe going, and it hasn't been an easy win any of the nights, but they do seem like they're confident, or at least a lot more confident than they were, you know, when they were really struggling to put wins together. I don't know. I think they're seeing it go through the hoop at this point.
That's exactly what they need to see. And realize that they're not as bad as you were saying, as the record indicates at 10-21. So they got some easy teams coming up. I mean, with these Minnesota Twins to try to end that series, it was a sweep. And then Cincinnati Reds are no great team, and same thing with the Kansas City Royals. So if I'm the White Sox and White Sox fan, I'm looking forward to them actually taking a couple more games from the Minnesota Twins in that lead. Now they're only seven games back.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it would be nice to lead the first, six games with a winning record, right? They'd be 4-2 against them. That'd be nice to say. Final thing, Vinny, I just want to poke the bear a little bit.
There we go.
What are you
Am
doing?
Am I the bear?
You're the bear right now.
Yep.
What are you doing taking pictures from the 400 level being like, oh, you couldn't see the skyline anyways if they built the park
was he
towards
wrong?
The skyline? Yes.
No, he wasn't.
Look at this picture. If they built it two blocks over on 33rd Street and actually angled it,
stop,
they would be able to get the Sears top. It scrapes the sky, folks. It's a tall building.
It would have been about that size what your hands are making right now in your vision.
They would have been seen.
Sean, it's like saying that you can see the skyline right in front of your face when you go to the Indiana Dunes.
You can still see it.
Yeah, technically.
Come on, it's not that far.
It's 4 miles away.
You're moving it 2 more blocks closer. It'd be on 33rd.
Now it's 3.5 miles away.
Yeah, now it's like 3 3/8.
It's like in your backyard. It's left field, Sears Tower.
I'm very correct.
I'll send you a book. They had a whole plan in 1987 to do it. But
yeah, if they move closer to the city.
I read that article and it was that you posted the link to, and it was very interesting. And I thought it was very cool, the design and the architecture and everything. Absolutely, that'd be a very cool ballpark to be here. I'm not even saying anything about what it should look like or where it should be. I'm saying that so many people, and Herb, you're one of them, have brought up, oh, it's facing the wrong way. What if you turned it around? And I'm here to tell you that if you turned it around, you really wouldn't be able to see it.
You're a Big J journalist, not a city planner.
I'm just saying, I've been to Minnesota. I've been to St. Louis, and the buildings are literally right across the street from the ballpark. That's why it looks like that.
Fair points.
Knock some of those buildings down in the loop.
Yeah, hey,
move them over here?
Knock down Pilsen?
Yeah.
Destroy communities?
are we using that post office downtown? Let's knock that down.
Post office?
It's a big-ass post office downtown. It's like the biggest one in the world. Still. It used to be.
It's condos now, Herb, I think.
Oh, yeah. Of course. But
where your dad works?
My dad works at the newer, older post office building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course it's condos now.
All right. Go follow Vinny Duber on Twitter, @VinnyDuber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer and future city planner. When they're building the next stadium, they're going to consult him. Make sure you go to allchgo.com too and read his recent piece about Liam Hendricks. Great quotes from Lucas Giolito, Aaron Bummer, and Kendall Graveman there. So make sure you go to allchgo.com to check that out. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter @EckermAll23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter @Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Stephen Nicholas, Billy Hamilton lover over here. Very excited that Billy
my two guys today, Gregory Santos, Billy Hamilton. I've been harping for both these guys forever now.
He is Groot. You talked to Gregory Santos after the game, it seems like, yes?
No, we talked to Middleton.
Oh, okay. Damn. All right. Have you bugged Groot yet about Friday?
Maybe tomorrow we might get Gregory Santos. We'll see.
Maybe tomorrow. All right. I'll hold you to it. I'll bug you tomorrow on the postgame show. Join us then and make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. We're close to,
passed 30,000.
We're closing in on, we're at your mean Mercedes. We're at your mean Mercedes. Let's hopefully we get to Abreu. Hit that like button on your way out. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Go Sox.